so that no visible end of the line presented itself.
What?
She asked no one in particular. Rather, she asked everyone there, because the Duchess of Pandon was entitled to an answer from whoever happened to hear her question. It made no difference, back on Earth, that the formal system of governance rested upon a strictly determined one-person-one-vote scheme. The members of the noble houses exercised their influence through their economic power, their cultural leadership, and, as her father had been fond of saying, their style. For the 200 years of the first gratefully and then bitterly named Draconian Renaissance, egalitarianism and cultural aristocracy had existed hand in hand, and Arimenta de Luorsi's sense of entitlement sprang from both sources. As the Duchess of Pandon, she knew at any social occasion back on Earth that she wasn't inherently better than the non-titled citizens around her. She was merely better educated. The same applied here in this awful queue. Arimenta's cultural superiority could not but shine through. The other young men and women in line came from Earth, and they would instinctively answer her request for information. It seemed, however, that her fellow arrivals had no information to give, and to her chagrin, the response came from a masculine voice behind her. The same voice, Arimenta realized, that had been saying gruffly things like,
"Arrivals to the left. Form your line to the left. Keep the right clear for returning citizens."
Now it said, with a severity that took its tone from gruff to angry,
"Silence, arrival."
Arimenta turned to confront a tall man in a gray uniform and a peaked cap that bore as insignia a representation of Draco's dragon flag. His dark eyes looked into her face with a scorn that seemed even to question her right to raise her own blue gaze to his. She felt her cheeks go hot with shame and anger. Her ancestresses, she supposed, might have protested based on some divine right that came from their noble blood. Elizabeth de Luorsi, wed to a Highlander but legendarily proud, might have slapped the arrival officer across the face. Arimenta, however, much she might have wanted to try such a tactic, knew her argument must have more reason in it.
"I am a citizen of the Earth Republic," she said as calmly as she could. "I am entitled to—"
"You are entitled to nothing, sweetheart," the officer replied, the anger in his face turning,
to Arimenta's fury, into amusement.
"Though perhaps in a few moments you'll entitle yourself to a session with the paddle."
"The what?"
Arimenta couldn't restrain herself, though she hadn't meant to dignify the officer's disdain with any response at all.
"You heard me. If the Earthers around you were foolish enough to speak, I'm sure they would tell you that they read the packet you got back on the jump ship. And they know that female arrivals are subject to corporal punishment here on Draco."
Arimenta looked wildly ahead of her and behind her in line, and saw one grim female face and one grim male one that between them confirmed the truth of what the officer had just said. She wanted to say,
"I knew you colonialists were barbarians, but I didn't know how very far from civilization you had fallen."
And she would have said it if her wits had managed to collect themselves in time. The awful pronouncement about corporal punishment, though, had stolen her ability to make such retorts, and the officer interpreted her silence as compliance.
"Just wait your turn, princess," he said. "You'll understand a good deal better when you get inside for your processing interview."
Araminta's face continued to burn at the insult for the next half hour as she stared at the red hair of the girl in front of her, who was dressed in work clothes, but seemed nevertheless to carry herself erect.
"Quite right," Araminta thought. "She is a citizen of the Earth Republic, just like me. Noble or common, we are all better than these colonialists with their awful dragon flag."